the rest of the story. The researcher submitted a list of names to his assistant. "I want to know what happened to them," he said. The assistant replied, "All of them?" "Yes, all of them." So the assistant went to work, composed a 44-page report, and submitted it. And as the researcher read the document, perceptibly fluttered in his trembling hands. Survival itself seemed a challenge for the enumerated unfortunates. 26 would perish before reaching the age of 5. Another 6 would not see their 21st birthdays. In the entire group under study, 1 was killed in combat, 2 died in freakish accidents, 5 drank themselves to death, 1 outright committed suicide. The lattermost was a particularly sad case. As a boy, he had demonstrated signs of brilliance, an affinity for music, and literature, and art. But his uncompromising parents had insisted on his life their way. No poems, no paintings. He was to attend Harvard, study law, and make something respectable of himself. Well, he went to Harvard. He became a lawyer and practiced in Boston with sometimes success. But gradually his health, as though gritting its teeth, began to fail. His father, still unsatisfied with his son's efforts, demanded the young man's diary for evaluation, he intoned. And his mother, the one person in the world who ought to have been on his side, would sneer, following a visit, that he was, quote, "the same old exaggerated, conceited, timid, enthusiastic, negligent, cold, eccentric being that he had been since he was born," end quote. Little wonder then that the subject eventually unraveled and let his law practice slide and got a girl pregnant and got blackmailed and started hearing voices in his head and started listening to the voices. One lonely night he jumped overboard from a homebound ship and drowned. He was 31. His grandfather had once observed he has genius equal to anything and burdens to match. And the case list provided by the researcher's assistant trudged on. Tragedy aside, a great many of the investigated lives were significantly marked by failure and mediocrity. Indeed, statistically, more misfortune of every kind than encountered in the general population. Well, the researcher had seen enough. He turned to his assistant and he said, "I want all of the copies of this document destroyed. But one," he said, "he would keep as a reminder of the challenge which lay before him." For once upon a White House transition, in the fall of 1988, the son of the new president-elect wondered aloud, "What's going to happen to me?" And so he consulted presidential advisor Doug Weed, requesting a report on the lives of all of the president's children, and reading that report, standing curbside, as past the parade of the often damned, he grew determined to march in another direction. Yes, that anxious president's son who sought and got that special report was George W. Bush. And the most poignant suicide that had moved him so was that of President John Quincy Adams' firstborn child, George Adams. George W. Adams. Now you know the rest of the story.